Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
What do you call, just going to get right out of here, what do you call an African-American that decides all of a sudden to become a conservative and begins to vote for Republicans? What do you call them? Do they have a certain name? Is there some disparaging remark that you can throw out there? Well, unfortunately, there are. One of the big ones is an Uncle Tom, somebody that's left the plantation, as it were, somebody that's left the usual thinking, the usual mode for African-Americans in America because, hey, listen, before you start calling me a racist, I'm just talking facts here. 93-94% of African-Americans vote for Democrats. So when you find an African-American that is conservative and votes for Republicans, by definition, that is an odd thing, an oddity. And that's what we're spending the day on the show talking about. So that's what I said. It's kind of an Uncle Tom day. And I say that just to get your attention and make you realize just how nasty it can be for our African-American brothers and sisters that leave that mindset, that leave the Democrat Party and become conservatives and become Republican voters. Coming up on Tuesday, September 29th, right here in Raleigh, North Carolina, Black Voters Matter Freedom Fest and Unite Rally. A good friend of mine, Jim Anthony, and several other guys that are on the show today. Are behind that. That's coming up Tuesday, September 29th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. specifically for people of color, and especially if you're a person of color that has been voting Democrat your whole life. If none of us are willing to be challenged, whether you're a Republican, Democrat, black, white, I don't care. But if you're not willing to be challenged, that makes you intellectually weak. And we should be willing to have a tough conversation and consider the other side. And for most African-Americans and people of color in this country anyway, they haven't considered the other side. But you're going to hear the story today from four different people. Antoine Thomas is here in the studio. He's with Blexit, North Carolina, has a law enforcement background, also a member of Bishop Wooden's church, the Upper Room Church of God in Christ. Antoine, good to see you, bro. Welcome here.
Good to see you, Brother Steve.
Good to have you in here and excited for all this and the event. A lot going on, Blexit. There's a lot going on. You guys, you were just up in D.C. recently.
Was up in D.C. We're in South Carolina last weekend. I'm trying to keep up with all this.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. Good stuff going on.
So were you born and raised a Republican conservative?
I was not born and raised a Republican conservative. However, I was born and raised a Christian, which I still am. Holding to the Christian values, right? And did not know that I was conservative until I got older and realized that, hey, I might need to reconsider what's going on.
Yeah.
I always call it lead the left, come to the right, the right side of things.
Yeah. And so kind of what got that process started? Come on in a little closer to the mic. Too,
absolutely. How's that sound?
That's good.
Good. Well, how this all got started, I am a member, and I was also served on a PBA board. Police Benevolence Association, and what got me into politics was just this. We sit around the board tables during election times, and from the local to state elections, these politicians come in and try to win our vote. PBA is the largest law enforcement organization in the state. Make a long story short, I had opportunity for years to sit and listen to these candidates, and I started really listening from the Democratic side and Republican side. Started rubbing noses, going to these, you know, high-fluent events and things like that. Got involved, became a good, big, huge fan of Fox. And let's face it, I go to a very conservative church, and Bishop Wooden preaches, has been preaching the gospel for years.
Had a big impact,
That had a huge impact. That had a huge impact. You know, being a teenager, listening to him preach all the way up until now, realized that, listen, it was nothing that he was making up. These were all factual based conversations and ideas that he had, and so I began to follow, listen, and what kind of made me move over to the switch was listening to the president and the things that he had promised and the things that he has done. And I say, you know what, I want to be a part of that. Don't like what's going on the left, and so I was once unaffiliated, but I moved all the way to the right.
Yeah, because it's interesting. Even when we had Barack Obama, our first quote unquote African American president, and he was. He didn't do the types of things that this president has done, this president that a lot of people like to call him a racist, but extending the funding of historic black universities and colleges. I mean, Obama didn't do that.
Didn't do
the
it.
Unemployment rates, the crime reform bill, that was massive. Obama could have gotten that done, didn't. There's all kinds of things that Trump has done that has been a direct benefit to the African-American community. But what's the African-American community generally think of you, Antoine, as somebody that supports Trump and is proud of it? How does that go over in your neck of the woods, so to speak?
Well, we've had many conversations on social media, one being Facebook. Listen, just like most black conservative Americans, I've been called Uncle Tom, a traitor, sellout. Listen, you're working for the man, all types of stuff. Those are names. So when you what we figured out, when you get in front of these people, the conversation and narrative is a little bit different. It all switches back to the president that he's racist. I had an opportunity to talk to about four Democrats a few weeks ago, and I spout out policy, all those things you named and more.
Yeah.
They didn't want to hear it. They told me no policy, don't want to hear that. My eyes are closed to that. They said he's a racist. We couldn't get past that point. And one point I always make, Steve, really quick is when they get to that point, I always ask these questions, simple questions. Do you know the president? No. Have you ever met him in person? No. Have you ever crossed paths with him? No. Has he ever called you a racist name? No. So how did you come up with this conclusion? Give us facts.
Yeah. And where does that go? Pretty much crickets?
It's a silence that we have right now.
Yeah. Why do you think it's so difficult for an African American to kind of come out of that Democratic Party mindset and platform and become a conservative? Because why so much vitriol? Why is that level of hatred really within your own quote unquote race? It's really, for a lot of people, it's kind of shocking to see that.
Steve, honestly, I really don't have an answer. I'm still trying to search for that answer. It's very difficult to come up with an answer because we asked that same question to our black Americans. And they haven't given us one. We're still waiting for that.
And so how do you typically engage them?
Lay out facts. And we also obviously bring God into it. Listen, we have the first president in a long time who is God-fearing and that wants to see our black Americans not killed by the slaughter of abortion. The vice president, one of his campaigns, his daughter, his wife works with that, Susan B. Anthony, and all these different things. And we have a president for once who actually wants to see the black Americans rise up and take what's rightfully theirs. And that's a piece of the American pie like everybody else has.
Yeah, because it's interesting because he never stepped up to the plate in 2015 when he was in the primary and then in the general election in 2016 and spouted off a bunch of things that sounded like Democrat talking points and kind of pandering to the African-American community. And hey, we're your guys. We've always been your guys, which is a flat out lie. They've only been your guys, quote unquote, since about the late 1960s. Before that, they were the complete opposite. You want to know who started the Ku Klux Klan? That's the Democrat Party. You want to know where the Jim Crow laws came from? That's the the Democrat Party. You want to know the real supporters of slavery and the people that didn't want Lincoln to get anywhere? That's the Democrat Party. That is the history of the Democrat Party. But most people don't want to go there. They just want to, like you said, ignore the facts. So we're going to continue to have this conversation today. Antoine Thomas here in the studio with me from Blexit. Next, we're going to talk to Adul Ali, Frederick Douglass Foundation, Cabarrus County Republican Party, also the state advisor for Blexit. All these Uncle Toms when we come back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Today on the program, affectionately called Uncle Tom Day here on the Steve Noble Show, because that's one of the names that are given to African-Americans, people of color, that leave the Democrat Party, kind of leave that mindset, which is prevalent. 93-94% of voters, African-American voters, people of color, literally every 2 years are voting for Democrats. There seems to be a lock hold in that relationship. But that relationship, remember, isn't that old. Pretty much started in the late 1960s, coming out of the civil rights movement. And so you have people like Antoine Thomas, who's here in the studio with me, that have gone a different route. They pulled away from the majority opinion and they explored and they're looking at facts and they're looking at history and they're looking at the reality of what's going on in this country. And logically, they become, guess what? Conservatives. So we're talking to them today. We've got an event coming up on Tuesday, September 29th here in the Raleigh area. Black Voters Matter, Freedom Fest, and Unite Rally. If you just go to Eventbrite, I put the link up already on the Facebook live feed today. So you can, we want you to register and get your tickets that way. It's a free event, free dinner, and barbecue. It's going to be outside. And especially if you're a person of color and you've never really flirted, quote unquote, with the other side of the aisle. If you've never really given much attention and haven't spent much time listening or asking questions, bring your skepticism and come out. That's the whole point of that night. Black Voters Matter, Freedom Fest and Unite Rally, Tuesday, September 29th here in Raleigh, North Carolina, 5:30 to 7:30. And one of the people involved with this is Adul Ali, who's on the phone with us today. Adul, thanks so much for calling in, man. How are you?
I am well, brother. Blessed. Thank you for having me on.
Doubly blessed. You're very welcome. So we were talking to Antoine, and he was sharing kind of his story of becoming a conservative. So where did this all start with you, Adul? I mean, you're involved with the state advisor with Blexit, Cabarrus County Republican Party, Frederick Douglass Foundation. Antoine just told me about your podcast, so we're going to have to do some podcast swapping, Urban Conservative Podcast, which is awesome. But how did you end up on this side of the tracks?
Well, look, it's a result of some study, some honest to goodness internal looking. And fortunately, and shout out to my brother Antoine, what's good?
Hey, brother.
Fortunately, I have an identical twin brother who was going on this same political journey and self-discovery as I was on. So it really comes out of the fact that we grew up as a result of the liberal policies that you were talking about earlier. With a drug addicted mom, with an absent and violent father. We grew up in the very environment that are caused by, in many cases, the liberal policies that we see out of it. And we always figured there was more to it. You know, there had to be more to it. And as we got older and we started studying and looking at where we really sit ideologically, what our values really are, what we want to see for our communities around us, it became a no-brainer. And then last thing I'll say about that, Steve, real quick, the real push was from a friend of mine at a Rotary Club meeting. I was chairing my city's Community Development Commission, and he looked at me and he said, Adul, you're a man of faith. You've got your family. You're a small business owner. I see you running around every day the way you do. You serve this community. You do realize you're a Republican. And I looked at him strange, and then I called my brother that night, and the Pandora's box was open.
Yeah, you didn't know you were trans-political, but you actually were.
And let me tell you, I'm thankful to be here on Uncle Tom Day, because yeah. I tell people all the time, that is a compliment. When these folks mm-hmm. call us Uncle Tom, mm-hmm. a lot of times they don't even realize how much of a compliment that actually is.
Yeah, it's a badge of honor. So back to that point, because you and Antoine was talking about this too, studying, paying attention to the facts, being intellectually honest and willing to be proven wrong, or at least to have your preconceived notions challenged. So why do you think, Adul, there's still this 90%+ of African-Americans that just logically, by their upbringing and their environment, just fall into the Democrat Party? Why is it so difficult for them to kind of come out of that fog?
Well, one of the things I know that I'm taught, and I believe in speaking things into existence, it's not that difficult. What it is we've got to put forth the effort to have mm-hmm. honest conversations as African-American men and women in our communities. I also think that there's a real big problem when we as a society and as conservatives and as Republicans are looking for government to be the first line of defense. So I think it's going to start with and continue when we look at the fact that there are tens of thousands of registered African-American Republicans in North Carolina. There's tens of thousands of us. So, look, we've just got to keep doing what we're doing. Events like the 29th, where we're bringing people in and saying, look, come have something to eat with us. Come ask us questions. Come be a part of the conversation with us in a friendly, non-judgmental environment. And stop you letting the left use us as the emotional with the emotional stuff and the racism stuff.
Yeah, that's such an important point, because I re-registered as an independent several years ago. I could never vote for a Democrat simply on the abortion issue alone. But it's so important that we're willing to have the conversation, and you have to be willing to say, you know what? I don't want anybody taking my vote for granted. If you want my vote, you're going to have to earn it, and you're going to have to explain to me how it is that you can benefit the country. And by benefiting the country, that's going to hopefully eventually benefit all of us, as a rising tide lifts all boats. So you obviously became a conservative or a Republican before Trump became president. But what's been your view, Adul, on the Trump presidency from a black man's perspective?
All right. So from the black guy perspective, let me tell you this. When I started working with the Frederick Douglass Foundation, I got a call from the black guy that President Trump appointed to oversee the Small Business Administration Region 4. Shout out to the homie Bruce Lavelle, right? When I sat at that table with somebody that, a black man, a fellow African-American that knows the president, I saw the pictures, I see them, I obviously am one person away from President Trump here. when he told me why he was in my community, which was the rich business people can fly to D.C. and come see the president if they want to see the president. He wanted to talk to the lady braiding hair in her house. He wanted to talk to the guy fixing cars in his garage. Mm. He wanted to talk to the small business owner in Kannapolis that may not qualify for these large loans. He wanted to get information from people on the ground where it mattered the most. And as a result of that, a year and a half after that, we saw the announcement of these opportunity zones and how that's going to impact black communities across the country. So I can't give you anything but anecdotal evidence, but that anecdotal evidence is supported by the fact that this president established those opportunity zones. He did the Opportunity Now Summit in Charlotte and gave us all an opportunity to connect with the leadership. So I'm willing to have a conversation with any Democrat or any person that says Donald Trump is against black people. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But you have to be willing to move around the narrative that you're being fed, which the mainstream media is feeding, because the last thing the left wants is for any African-American or person of color that's been voting for Democrats their whole lives to actually look at reality, to actually look at the facts, because they know. I mean, Bishop Wooten at your church, Antoine, I did the show with Bishop Wooten in his office. This was a couple months ago. Yeah. I said, you know what the problem is, Bishop Wooden? If all of a sudden these economic opportunity zones inside the urban environments, you know what the problem is? If they start to succeed and you have African-Americans, people of color in those areas starting to taste a little success and have some opportunity, you know what the biggest political problem with that is? And he kind of looks at me, wasn't sure where I was going with it. And I said, let me tell you what the problem is. You're going to have a bunch of black folks in the inner city that leave the Democrat Party and mm-hmm. become Republicans because it makes sense. And I think most African-Americans actually are conservative anyway.
Right.
So the point is, you need to come to the party that actually will do things that can actually benefit you instead of just buying the lies.
And it actually doing them.
Right. Exactly. So Adul, before we finish up, we just got about 30 seconds left. Just invite people to come to the Freedom Fest and why they should be there real quick.
Well, listen, we are so honored to be doing this. And thank you to our partners, the Frederick Douglass Foundation and everyone. It is going to be September 29th at 5:30 p.m. in Raleigh, 1201 Edwards Mill Road. Freedom. It's the Black Voters Matter Freedom Fest and Unity Rally. We've got amazing speakers. Bishop Wooden is going to be there. Come out and find out about Republican
awesome.
Support for African Americans and be a.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, today with a fairly provocative title for the show. In case you hadn't heard that before, it's Uncle Tom Day on the Steve Noble Show. And Uncle Tom is a phrase that's used, unfortunately, for when African-Americans, people of color, decide to leave the Democrat Party. And once they do that, and that comes kind of out of the closet, if you want to use that phraseology, then all of a sudden you got to disparage them, right? You got to call them names, got to kind of diss them. And so Uncle Tom's one of them. Another one, which I'm like, coon, whenever, I mean, I grew up in the Midwest for the most part and around Chicago. I shudder when I hear that word, but it can be really difficult. There's a lot of vitriol for African-Americans that become conservatives because you're outside now the 93 or 94% of African-Americans that vote are voting for Democrats. So it can be a very, very difficult environment and topic, and something that we need to talk about, because I think as more and more people of color discover that it's okay for them to leave that party and to go down the road of becoming a conservative, which obviously I think when we look at the facts is much better for America and Americans than the Democrat Party and the liberal point of view, that's going to be good for the country. So this is a really important topic, which is why we're also talking about Black Voters Matter coming up on Tuesday, September 29th here in Raleigh. Freedom Fest and Unite Rally. Just go to Eventbrite. I also put the link up on Facebook Live today. I'll put it on my regular Facebook page after the show is over. But Tuesday, September 29th, 5:30 to 7:30, come out and enjoy a meal. Bring your questions, bring your skepticism, bring all of that. And this is really specifically for people of color to come out and hear. There's going to be tremendous speakers. Antoine will be there. Adul's going to be there. And I think Mr. Clarence Henderson's going to be there. Mr. Henderson is a longtime North Carolina resident, one of our great civil rights heroes, the Greensboro sit-in back in 1960. I had the privilege of interviewing him for a few minutes when Dan Forrest did his big opening rally in Winston-Salem last summer, and it's just a tremendous privilege to have you on. Mr. Henderson, how are you?
Great, Steve. It's indeed a pleasure for me to be on your show.
Amen, and thank you so much for your time. So we're talking about this rather incendiary topic today, which is, for some people, it's incendiary. For us, I think it just makes sense. Tell us a little bit about your journey in becoming a conservative, and you're a conservative voice and a conservative leader and have been for years. But what was that like for you to kind of come into that world, Clarence?
It was eye-opening, to say the least, because I was a Democrat before I became a Republican, before I became a conservative. And the reason for that was that nobody ever told me, and I never did my own research to determine what party represents the values that I hold so dear to my heart, such as the sanctity of life, strengthening the black family, lower taxes, all those things that America was founded upon, the Judeo-Christian values. And so when I realized who I really was from the standpoint of when you look at the political arena, I immediately made a change and have been moving forward ever since. And I'm one of those persons that's not afraid to stand up for that which I believe in.
And then in terms of the kind of the vitriol and the pushback from the African-American community, when somebody like you, Clarence, or like Antoine here in the studio, or Abdul, or we're going to talk to Kevrick in the last segment, when you start talking about that and it kind of becomes known publicly, why do you think there's such a vitriolic pushback? It's one thing to disagree and have a conversation, but it's another thing to use derogatory names and throw a lot of hatred around. Why is it so difficult? Why is it like that?
It's a form of control. There's a thing called victimology, and that's what we're dealing with now, is that the Democratic Party always has to have a victim. And unfortunately, for most of the life of the party, it has been the black community, and trying to tell us what we can and cannot do, and trying to string us along and saying that we need the help of the government. And it's like what Frederick Douglass said when they asked him what to do, and the word they were using at that point was said, what should they do with the Negro? He said, leave him alone and he'll figure it out. And that's so true, because the nine worst words you can hear from the government is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. And so those who have a conservative value have to have a kind of courage to withstand, because I've been called all kinds of names, not to my face, same as those names I was called when I was growing up, back during the Jim Crow days. But I'm not concerned about that. I'm still fighting for the freedom of others, just like I was then. And so it's a journey that I really enjoy.
Why do you think that, and this is I'll be very direct with this question. Why do you think the Democrat Party at large, and this is the way I see it, why do you think they think so little of your average African-American, that they can just throw in some platitudes and lead them around by the nose, essentially? To me, it looks like that the Democrat Party is always pandering, and now they're in a position where they can just take everybody for granted. Well, why do you think they view the African-American population that way?
Because for me, what I think is that from the time of slavery time to the time of Jim Crow, we've always, let's go back to 1964 there, about the civil rights movement of Lyndon Baines Johnson. And he was excellent at what he did. He said he would have blacks voting Democrat for the next 200 years. And because they have lied to us, and there's been a great transmission of misinformation, and what you've got is the liberal media, you've got the halls of Hollywood. You've also got the liberal halls of the universities, and it's gone further down than that, that are espousing the same thing. And so for those people that are really not paying attention to politics, it's very easy for them to misunderstand, because what they do is they use the carrot of emotion. And I tell people all the time, we cannot allow our emotion to cause us to lose our common sense. And I'm able to speak on that because that's where I was.
Yeah.
I remember some 25 years ago there about that I was talking to my father about politics, and I kept espousing about the Democratic Party. And he looked me in the eye, and here's a guy with a third grade education, and said to me, you don't know your history. So that's the key there. The history of each party. And when you do a comparative analysis, you will see the 12th, the 13th, the 14th Amendment. Who were the architects of those? It was the Republican Party.
That's right.
And so I'm urging everybody now at this particular point in time, do not just listen to what I'm saying. Go and do your own research and see what you find out.
Yeah, the last thing any of us wants to be is a lemming, and you just go where you're told to go, and you just people can just assume your vote. It's really a derogatory position to take, and it's really condescending. It makes me sick, quite frankly. We're talking to Clarence Henderson, just a great civil rights hero, a conservative leader, a great voice here in North Carolina and across the country. Black Voters Matter, the Freedom Fest and Unite rally coming up on Tuesday, September 29th here in Raleigh, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. that night. Come out for a free meal, a great conversation, great speakers. You can go to Eventbrite and find it there. I also put the links up on Facebook. So, Clarence, in terms of what's been going on under the Trump presidency, what's your opinion of the results of the Trump presidency? And do you think there's a movement in America, which, of course, the mainstream media won't cover, that there's actually more? Are we going to be surprised by the number of African-Americans that might vote for Donald Trump in 49 days?
In my opinion, quite surprised, because he has a history of doing what he has said, you know, promises made and promises kept. For example, look at what he's done with the HBCUs, the guarantee and more money than before. You look at prison reform, when you had 91% of the people who come out of prison have been out of the black community. When you look at school choice, where our kids are failing in school choice, and that's very dear to my heart, because I never went to an integrated school. They wouldn't let us in, and now they won't let us out. We've got kids out here that are able to go based on the opportunity scholarship, and they're not, for example, the state of North Carolina, our governor is strongly opposed to that, mm-hmm. and the Democratic Party in general is opposed to that. So when you look at Donald Trump, and you look at his history of what he's done, even to include jobs, then how can you miss the fact of what he's done? Now, you may not like him, but for me, what does it have to do with anything? It's the job that he is performing. And he's done a great job. I don't know of any other president that's done a greater job in the black community as he has. The only thing I can think of greater than that was the Emancipation Proclamation.
Yeah.
But that was not an ongoing kind of thing.
Well, that was going to be my next question, Clarence, so you got ahead of me there, which is no shock to me. But I was going to ask you, in your life, have you seen any president that's been near as effective and helpful towards the African-American community than Donald Trump? Because I agree with you. I think you have to go all the way back to Abraham Lincoln in the Civil War to do that. And I know a lot of people are just going, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you would say that. But I think that's the reality. But coming from you, it sounds like you agree with that position as well.
I certainly do, because, see, all these presidents, what they've done is kick the can down the road and go with rhetoric versus reality. Even when we had President Obama, what did he do with when it comes to the plight of blacks in the United States, strengthening the black family? And what you look at is that, for example, in Washington, D.C.,
We're up against the break, Clarence, so I got to let you go. But I look forward to seeing you on the 29th. Thank you so much for calling in today.
Okay, it sounds great. We'll talk to you later.
All right, God bless you, and thank you for your service to this nation, and especially service to his own quote-unquote people. This is Steve Noble.
Because you are more than I could ever dream.
This world could ever see. Welcome back. It's Uncle Tom Day here on the Steve Noble Show as we're talking to our black brothers who happen to be conservatives and happen to vote Republican and speaking out and are active. Antoine Thomas is with Blexit North Carolina. He's here in the studio. We talked earlier to Abdul Ali. He's with the Frederick Douglass Foundation, Cabarrus County Republican Party, state advisor of Blexit. He also has a podcast. He's a part. Is he doing that podcast with his brother?
Is that what
you said?
Yes, sir.
That's super cool. Called the Urban Conservative. Then we just obviously talked to civil rights hero and just a great thinker, a great conservative. An elderly gentleman who's got more wisdom than any of us combined, Clarence Henderson. And then another guy who's got a whole lot going on upstairs, another brilliant thinker, great conservative, happens to be an African-American, Kevrick McCain, who's the executive vice president of the Douglass Leadership Institute. Kevrick, how are you, man? Thanks for calling in.
Oh, brother, I'm doing great, Steve. I'm doing great. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, thank you. So this is, we'll just consider this a down payment on all the airtime I owe you.
Yeah, I love it, man.
But we'll get started, and thank you for calling in, and thank you for your leadership on this issue. We've been talking to Antoine and the other guys kind of about their own journey and how they ended up becoming conservatives and Republicans, and then talking about that, the challenge within the African-American community. So kind of what's your story on that same vein, Kevrick?
Well, for me, it really boils down to my faith. I think that was really the thing that really pointed me towards conservative principles initially, and really it centered around the issue of life. And so once I gave my life to Jesus, I began to, and I was in college at the time, student over at North Carolina State, I began to kind of wrestle with issues like abortion and why we actually have it and what God's perspective was on it. So as I looked at that and then looked at both parties, it was pretty clear which party was pro-life and which party at that time, they used to talk about abortion being safe and rare, but we all kind of knew it was basically abortion on demand. And so that was really the beginning of my journey, and in the late 80s. And it kind of, at the same time, it paralleled just a tremendous growth in the Republican Party nationally.
Yeah,
and so that was really where it started for me.
And that's really, I mean, that the issue of life is really sad. I'm standing outside of an abortion clinic most Saturdays during the year. And just this past Saturday, Kevrick, we're standing outside an abortion clinic here in Raleigh. There's 19 moms inside, and 12 of them are African-Americans. And you go back and look at Margaret Sanger and the Eugenics Society, which later became Planned Parenthood. You look at the history of all of that. You look at the fact that African-Americans make up about 12 or 13% of the population, but about 35 or 36% of the abortions. And the fact that the party that is completely in bed with them, Obama praise have said, God bless Planned Parenthood. Hillary Clinton received proudly received the Margaret Sanger Award. All that stuff, that the irony is dripping with the blood of the unborn. And it just breaks my heart that that most African-Americans just don't even seem to want to deal with it. Or are they just unaware?
A little bit of both. And I think it's actually become more that they don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
We're looking at about 300,000 African-Americans that babies that are aborted every year. I know in our state here, black folks are about 22% of the population, but we're 45% of the abortions that take place in the state of North Carolina. So it's really, if you look at some graphs, I'm just be amazed at, you'll look at the black population with this huge graph number, and then you look at the if you compared it with the white population, which in the state, you'll see that they're around basically about 20 to 30% of all the abortions, whereas black folks, who are 22%, we're 45% of the abortions in the state. So that it's just really sad. I think that it's something that the African-American community has to really reconcile and make a decision that will we be a race really that will support the destruction of ourselves, or are we going to rise up and frankly be like a Wilberforce who was in England, who basically said slavery has to end? And I look at abortion very similar in some similar ways as slavery. The government sanctioned slavery and allowed for literally millions of people over a 300-year period to be enslaved. Similarly, the government has sanctioned abortion, and they have allowed 20 million and then up to over 40 million babies of all races to be aborted here in the United States.
Yeah, exactly right. Such a powerful reminder. We all need to hear those stats, and we need to deal with those realities all the time. We're talking to Kevrick McCain, Executive Vice President, Douglas Leadership Institute. Antoine Thomas is here in the studio with me with Blexit North Carolina. As we see the Blexit movement gaining steam, and as we've been talking about the Black Voters Matter event coming up, the Freedom Fest and Unite Rally, which is here in Raleigh on Tuesday, September 29th from 5:30 to 7:30. You can find that on Eventbrite or just check out my Facebook page for the link there. But are you hopeful, Kevrick, about this momentum that appears to be building? And I want to talk about the Trump presidency. Are you hopeful that more and more African Americans are coming out of that mindset that the Democrat Party is where they belong?
I am hopeful, very hopeful. We're seeing a lot of changes nationally. We are seeing some great things happen in this state. I know that there's been a tremendous outreach led in Raleigh by Patrick Wooden and the Upper Room Church of God in Christ, but also in places like Charlotte, where we saw the minority community, both Black and Hispanics, rise up in a tremendous number to oppose the expansion of a Planned Parenthood facility in Charlotte. Yeah. Went from basically two or three ministries expanding to 35 ministries, with people actually going out in the hundreds, marching for life, praying. And then there's a continual effort there. So we're starting to see those things across the country. And I know that we're going to see great things here in North Carolina, and that's kind of what this event is about that we're going to have on the 29th. It really is a way for us to be bold, come out with a bold statement, and very public about it, and say that there has to be another way.
Yeah.
When you look at things. And so I'm really encouraged about what we're going to see both in this state and what we'll see nationally coming up in this election and in the elections in the future.
What's your opinion, Kevrick, of Donald Trump and his presidency?
I think Donald Trump is a excellent president. I think he has done tremendous, and this is where I look at not just words, but I look at deeds. And his deeds, when you look at what the president has done, when you look at historic economic growth, and particularly when you deal with unemployment until this pandemic, the Obama administration, the average during the first term of the Obama administration was double-digit unemployment, generally speaking about 13 or 14%. The Trump presidency, we looked at something around 5 or 6% in the African-American community. That is incredible. If you look at his deeds on HBCUs and spending that goes towards a permanent funding for historical Black colleges across the country, that's historic, and it didn't happen under the first Black president that we actually had. And then you go down the list when you talk about criminal justice reform, which, you know, we have a gentleman running for president who, on the other side, who frankly authored a bill that put more Black people in jail than anything that you could think of. So if you go down the list, and then obviously for me, his support for life, it really kind of, it demonstrates indeed something that is really, really outstanding. I don't think that any president that we've seen in my adult lifetime has had that kind of record.
Yeah, exactly right. I was talking to Clarence Henderson about that. I said, we both agreed there hasn't been a president as good for the African-American community as Donald Trump since Abraham Lincoln. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, that's such a shocking statement to think all the way from the 1860s to today. But you set aside, maybe you don't like his personality, you don't like his hair, whatever. But you go look at the actual results of his presidency, and if you're intellectually honest at all as an African-American, you have to come to that conclusion. I don't think that's an emotional thing.
No.
I don't think that's a manipulative thing. I think that's just a facts thing.
Agreed. Agreed, Steve. I mean, the facts are the facts. And look, when you have people who are employed, it brings a sense of fulfillment to your life and a sense that there are that the limits are taken off of you, that opportunity is available to you. And when you're dependent upon the government for a check, it literally suppresses your ability to succeed.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we really, in terms of at the Douglas Leadership Institute, are very, very high on is really pursuing economic prosperity. promoting entrepreneurship. And I think what we saw during this administration, particularly before the pandemic, was an opportunity to really see great growth on the economic side. That's and I right. think when the president is reelected, I think you're going to see that again, and an opportunity to really, really change the economic environment for Black Americans coming up in the 20s.
Kevrick McCain, thank you, my brother, for calling in. Thanks for being a part of the show. Executive Vice President, Douglas Leadership Institute. We'll get you in the studio next, okay, my friend?
Yes, sir, brother.
Okay, pal. Talk to you soon. Thanks so much.
Take care, Kevin.
Antoine, that was just awesome.
I love it.
Let's keep talking after the show. If you're on Facebook Live, I want to talk to Antoine about what's going on with police around the country, because Antoine is part of that environment, so we're going to talk about that. The Black Voters Matter Freedom Fest and Unite Rally, Tuesday, September 29th, 5:30 to 7:30. Eventbrite is where you can find that, so you can register, and I'll put it on Facebook, and we'll keep talking about it. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon, and like my dad always used to say, ever forward.